All right. We are right here, ready to come on the air with Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. And excited about today's show, as always. Love to bring the word week after week after week. What a joy. So, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister, and I'm going to be joined by Shell in a few moments. In fact, Shell, is that you on the line?
Yes, it's me.
All right. Hi. Good. Hi. Good to see you. Well, I can't really see you, but
good to hear you.
Right. There you go. We're glad that you're joining us. It's fantastic. And Megan will be joining us. It was going to be Betty, and then Betty had something came up, and Megan took today, and Betty took one for Megan. Yeah, a few weeks back. So, yeah, it'll be Megan here shortly. And I can hear a little bit of static here, and I believe it's from these fans. I got pointed right at me, so I'll take care of that in just a couple minutes when we go to a song. But, Shell, it's been a while since you've been on, and I'm really glad that you are taking this opportunity to help us get the Word of God out. And why do you want to do that anyway?
I think it helps me more than I help anyone else. It's an honor to serve God. I told you before, it's the only work that really matters, and
it's true.
It helps me grow in my own faith. It keeps me looking in the Word and trying to understand, you know?
It does. It really does. It keeps us on our toes, especially when we have an awesome responsibility of talking about God and giving out truth, the truth of the Word. It's very important that that we're in it and that we're reading it. And it's a joy and a privilege to be able to do that. So you weren't able to be there this morning because you live quite a ways away right now. But we had one of the best services at Beacon of Hope we've had in a real long time. The power of God was so strong. A lot of people were ministered to.
Thanks for rubbing it in. I missed it.
I know. I'm sorry I rubbed it in here. But I'll tell you what, it's just like I'm still on this high from that service of God just moving in our midst and people really receiving what God was saying and just powerful. And it just, you know, it makes the ministry worthwhile when we see lives change, when we see people touched with the gospel, when we see some of the hurts fall away and some of the things that we've all had to deal with in our lives change right before our eyes. Pretty cool when you see all that going on, you know?
And that's from keep on keeping on.
Well, that's what it is, yeah.
The good and the hard times.
Yeah, because
we get to witness all of it.
You are exactly right, Shell. And it's, you know, life has all kinds of situations for all of us. And they're not all easy. Frankly, most of them aren't. So,
no,
I mean,
that's for sure.
You know, and we can so easily get discouraged. Would you speak to that? Because I think some people just get so down from whatever's going on in their life, you know?
I have always dealt with depression in my life, and what I've learned in the last couple of years is, you know, it's not just about taking a pill. It's not just about opening up the Bible and reading, because I like to check off lists. And I always felt like, okay, better things are going to happen to me if I just get into the habit of reading the Bible. And I thought somehow, you know, I should be rewarded for that, or for participating in church services or things like that. But you know, I only started realizing that, you know, it comes from trying to understand the Bible, whether you get it or not, that something supernatural happens, and that the more you stick with it, even if you don't know what you're reading, your faith grows, you know, from
what?
The tiny little mustard seed that he talks about to something bigger. Like I've always tried to, I'll never probably reach your level.
Don't say that. Yeah. That's...
Hopefully past the baby Christian stage. And so reading and coming to God in prayer,
right.
And
yes.
Not thinking about myself,
right.
But putting my eyes on him and his.
That's it right there. Yes.
His countenance instead of mine.
Right.
I get out of my head, and it helps me get over the depression.
You know, and I think a lot of people can relate to what you're saying right now, Shell, because so often we are so consumed with our own problems and our own situations that we really can't see the forest for the trees, and we can't, we don't realize the importance of running to God, you know, and instead human nature says, well, I'll just deal with this on my own. I'll be okay. Be okay, you know, but well, really
part of it's pride.
I think it is too. Yes. I believe it is. I really believe that, that a lot of times we think we can figure it out. We can handle it. You know, we don't need help, you know?
Well, a lot of people get, and I mean, I won't speak for others. I'll speak for myself because, you know, I just think that we get too proud to go to Christ. We get too proud to go to others. We're supposed to run to him, but we're also supposed to not isolate ourselves from like others in the church.
That's right.
Others when you're reaching out to us.
Yes.
And that is my tendency, is I run away because I'm embarrassed, but I'm also proud. And it's like, I don't want somebody to know all my issues. But I'm finding that that was the wrong way to go about it. And so I'm trying to still learn through discipline and reading and trying to immerse myself in it with, you know, getting to connect, reconnect with other
people. That's exactly what it takes.
In the church.
Yes.
Watching, reading, listening on the radio, listening to hymns that praise him, you know?
Well, you're exactly right, Shell. And too often we take the easy way out, I guess, in life and say, oh, this thing will work out. I don't want to take time to sit down and pray, or I don't want to, you know, share my issue with somebody. And we just want to bear it ourselves, you know, and that's a problem, you know?
Or we're impatient and we just don't want to wait.
Right.
And so I'm learning patience too.
Wow.
There are some perks of getting older.
Yeah, keep telling me those. All right. Sounds good. No, it is. They're a blessing to grow in God. That's what we're saying.
We're
going to talk more about that with Shell, and then Megan will join us soon. And we are today living the good life right here. And we're going to start with 10,000 Reasons for My Heart to Sing. Love this song.
Awesome.
Let it bless you.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song. Your holy name.
the end draws near, and my time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore, forevermore. Bless the
what we do today. We just praise his holy name. We thank you, God, for who you are. We thank you that we can gather together as a group of believers scattered around the globe, around your word today. And Lord, we just thank you that your word is forever true, that you are faithful to your word, that you love us so very much, that no matter what's going on in our lives, you're there. You're taking care of us and you're watching over us. And Lord, that is a joy and that is a blessing. And we just love being in your presence. And we love this opportunity today to bring the word of God to the airwaves, wherever people might be now or listening in the future, that your anointing would so touch their lives that they will not be the same from this moment on. We give you the glory and the praise about for all of this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. And is that you, Megan, on the line?
It's me. Hi, Pastor, and hi, Shell.
Hey.
Hi, Megan.
Good to hear your voice. Good to hear your voice. Been a while, so we're glad you're joining us today, Megan. Shell and I were just talking about how easy it is to get into patterns in life where we don't take the time to spend with God like we should, and we just get bogged down in our circumstances. And I got to go adjust this fan again because it's still messing up with sound. Can you guys hear that sound in the speakers?
No, I can't hear
phone,
it,
but you can when you listen in through the website.
You can? Okay, all right. Let me go check it again. So talk for a minute, Megan.
Absolutely. I'll cover you faster.
We've missed you, Megan.
I'll miss you guys, too. Hey, you know, it is very easy to get mundane and lackadaisical in touching base with the Lord, because it's so easy to let life get in the way. And what I mean by that is that you get so consumed with your daily activities of, you know, going to work, you know, possibly taking care of children or taking care of others, that we tend to let our spiritual needs take a back seat. And what I mean by that is spending time with the Lord to nourish our spirit, because that is the side of us that we tend to neglect, that we tend to think that, oh, you know, I'm good. But it really is true that the more times that you check in with Jesus, the more times you check in with your Heavenly Father,
right,
the better your day goes.
That's so true.
I learned something really cool at church a couple of weeks ago, is that if we wake up in the morning and we check in with God a minimum of 7 times a day, and what he meant by checking in was just, you know, just taking a moment saying, Lord, praise you for this situation.
Yes.
Praise you for this day.
Right.
Praise you that I got up and I'm breathing today.
Right.
That helps create an atmosphere where the devil goes, oh, she's on her game today. I'm going to go bother somebody else.
Megan, that's exactly right. Because so often we are the ones who give the devil ample room to mess with us. You want to talk about that, Shell? And we're going to John chapter 11, people. Okay, go ahead.
I totally agree with Megan. I think that we can't just, like I said, have it as a something you check off the box. You do your devotion in the morning and at night and you're done and you do nothing in between. But just the song you played, you know, you should worship him.
Yes.
Not always start off your checklist of wants and needs and what can you do for me, but, you know, express your gratitude towards him. And in situations, you know, if you're going to work and you know you're going to have a bad day at work because you're going to encounter a meeting that you're not looking forward to or the traffic, if you pray ahead of time, like Megan said, the you know, Satan will bug off.
You know? Well, it's true that we are spiritual creatures. We walk around in a physical body and we have emotions and we have a free will. But we are spiritual creatures. And when we're in tune with our Creator, and sometimes it's moment by moment because it's really a bad day or whatever, or, you know, whatever, it changes us, doesn't it, Shell? I mean, suddenly we are, our focus changes, I guess the word is focus. We center.
Yeah,
we center.
Definitely.
You know?
Definitely. You don't allow it to happen, and the Spirit's with you to convict you if you're going off course a little bit.
Right.
If you're getting a little impatient, a little angry, you know, and just if you focus on the good things, like you said, and him, and let him guide you, you know, you're on your A game, and you will be blessed that day, and hopefully nothing will happen, and then you get the whole next day. You're not supposed to worry about the next day, but every day has its own set of worries. But yeah, she's got the right idea. Start off with him and keep checking in.
Amen. Let's talk about a situation in the Bible in John chapter 11. We've been in a series entitled Jesus Is for several weeks, and we are concentrating on the seven I am statements about who Jesus said he is, not was, but is, in the book of John, because this is the book that contains all seven of those. And we've already covered the first four. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. And I am the good shepherd. And today we're on, I am the resurrection and the life. And somebody may be thinking, oh, well, that just applies to going to heaven when we die. Oh, no, it's so much more than that. And we're going to talk about that today. And I love the way Jesus told these stories and had these things recorded for us in the Bible, in the Gospels, because these were real events that took place, not just a story about somebody, oh, this may have happened back then, we're not sure. These are real events written by eyewitnesses, and in this case, John, the beloved, who was beside Jesus all the time. And we started out in John 11, and we see a situation where there is a friend of Jesus, his name is Lazarus, and he had two sisters, Mary and Martha, and they lived in the little town of Bethany. And we can gather from this story that they were very close to Jesus and his disciples. Probably the disciples and Jesus would stop by as frequently as they could and probably eat pizza with, you know, Mary and Martha and John and Lazarus, or you know, maybe, I don't know, maybe fettuccine Alfredo, Shell, maybe they ate that.
Yeah, some wine.
You think? Okay. And so they would stop by there all the time. So they knew them. And word was sent to Jesus. He was not in Bethany. He was someplace else. And a message got to him. And said, Master, the one you love so very much is sick. And what they were referring to and who they were referring to was Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha. And so when Jesus gets the message in verse 4 of John 11, it says, he said this sickness is not fatal. It will become an occasion to show God's glory by glorifying God's Son. In other words, God used this situation of Lazarus being sick to actually take him to the realm of death. He actually died, which we're going to talk about this, and I love this story. And yet it says, Jesus said right here, wait a minute, this sickness isn't fatal, although we know that Lazarus did die, and we're going to get to that in a minute. But you see, it's because Jesus knew that the outcome was not that temporary death, which lasted very, very short time, but this situation God was going to get glory from. And I really want you both to comment on that, because I think so often we get lost in our mess, whatever our mess is, and forget that God's got another plan going on and he intends to get glory out of our mess. Talk to me about that, Megan, and we'll go to Shell.
Well, you know, those messes that we go through, those are the stepping stones to ministering to other people.
Amen.
And, you know, now that I've been through what I call some pretty tragic events, is I have a different outlook on those type of situations.
Right.
Because I try to take that freak out method that we all get as humans is, oh my gosh, why is this happening? What am I going to do? My life is in ruin, da 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 da. Instead, it's, God, what are you going to teach me through this event?
Amen.
What are you making of this mess that's going to glorify you? That's that spiritual shift that we need to make in our daily lives.
Yes.
And when we do that, it really changes our outlook.
Oh, totally and completely. You are right. And when we change our mental expectation and our emotional expectation to, oh, I wonder what God's up to here. You know, and I think so often we just immediately fly mad, or we get angry and we go, oh, God, where are you anyway? Why don't you ever come and help me? Instead of going, hey, wonder what God's up to here. Talk to us, Shell.
Yes. I've tried to worry a lot less because, I mean, we could spend every waking moment of the day worrying about
something. Yes, we could.
Or someone we love, you know, or others, what's going on. So, like, you got to just give it all up to him. And as Megan said, the more trials and adversity and the hardships that we face in life, the more we grow in our faith, the more we grow in our empathy and compassion and sympathy towards others.
Yes.
And, you know, Christ cried.
He
cried at the death of Lazarus, even knowing what was to come, but just knowing the pain that we feel. He was empathizing with us, that separation that we feel.
That's such a huge point. Because even though he knew that he could hurry on over to Bethany, And he, you know, just speak healing into Lazarus and he'd be fine, he also knew the greater purpose. And I really want to make this point very strongly today. God allows in his wisdom, okay? This is a Graham Cook quote, everyone. God allows in his wisdom. I didn't say God makes this happen. God allows in his wisdom what he could easily prevent by his power. So often we get mad at God because we say, you can do this. Why didn't you do that? God allows in his wisdom what he feels is best for us. And that is a tough lesson to learn. And here it is right here demonstrated in John 11, because Jesus knew, okay, if I don't get over there and pray for him and speak life to him right now, he's going to die. And then yet his father spoke to him and said, let him die. Okay. Because the death of Lazarus had a greater, greater purpose. And the disciples were saying to him, you know, they were all saying, let's go back to Judea. And Jesus replied down in about verse 9, anyone who walks in daylight doesn't stumble because there's plenty of light from the sun. Walking at night, he might well stumble because he can't see what's going on. And basically he was saying is, you got to trust God right there. You've got to trust God. And in these trials in our life, Shell and Megan, we have got to learn to trust the living God. Shell, talk to us about that, and then we'll go to Meg.
Well, he's, you know, a lot of us are control freaks. I know I am. I have a hard time giving up control. And, but like I said, in recent years, I've tried to just, I've learned the hard way that my way doesn't work. And my timeline is not synchronized with his. And sometimes he has, like, surprises waiting around, like something I never thought would be a resolution or a solution to a problem that I had. You know, we can't see the future, only
that's
he
right.
can. And
that's exactly
we just have
right.
to trust that he loves us.
Yes.
And he will never lead us wrong. We just got to let him do his thing, work his magic, not interfere.
Absolutely. In fact, these disciples were saying, you can't go back to Bethany because they're trying to find you and kill you. And right. and basically, Jesus was trying to get them to understand, you know what? I allow what I allow. You know, I don't permit what I don't permit, you know, and quit worrying and quit giving into fear. Talk to us, Megan.
Exactly. And
exactly.
I fully agree with, exactly. I fully
right.
agree with what Stel said. And, you know, I just have this, I get these little things, these little blurbs from the Lord when we're on the radio, is that we need to learn, and this is probably going to sound really crazy, but we need to learn that when we're dealing with situations and when we know in our knower of all knowers that God has the ultimate power, because He sure does.
He sure does.
We need to kind of look at problems as that we need to take a mental vacation.
Ooh,
and what I mean by that,
I like that
is instead of sitting in a corner and crying, instead
mm-hmm.
of sitting in a corner letting the devil kick dirt in your face,
right?
Why don't you use your knowledge that you have of God and the knowledge that you're going to gain through your mess to step back from the situation and go, God, I know you've got this. I'm going to give you the glory today, and that's all I'm going to do. I don't need to do anything else because I can take a vacation from this mess because I know you got this.
But, Megan, you are exactly right, and Shell's exactly right. But how hard is it for people to do that very thing? In fact, these disciples were all frustrated with Jesus because they knew that Lazarus was super sick. And they knew Jesus could stop the illness. And when we know that God can do something, a lot of times we get so caught up in the moment that we start asking, why are you not doing it right now? Do it right now. Do it right now. I'll give you till noon and a 1 minute past 12. And if you haven't done it, God, I am really going to be mad at you. And this is my timetable and it's got to be done by noon. And blah, 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 blah. I've done that. So that's why I can talk about it. Talk to us, Shell. But a lot of people out there do that very thing. They when they worry their prayers is what it says in the Message Bible in Philippians 4:6-7. Stop worrying your prayer. What does that mean?
You know, well, I'm a pro at with anxiety and stuff, so I just try to ask the Lord, how can I bless you today? You know, instead
there you
of,
go.
What can you do to bless me?
Right.
How can I be a blessing to someone else?
Mm-hmm.
And if I can't solve my initial problems, I think of, well, let me call somebody up, make their day, maybe somebody who's lonely.
Right.
Maybe a friend who needs you to reach out, and let me be a blessing to them in some
That's
way.
That's right.
Or it could just mean smiling at the cashier at the local grocery store who always looks grumpy and is probably having a bad day and doesn't want to be there. So just, you know, you got to fight it and you got to, like, get out of your head, like I said, and just, you know, just know that he's got your back.
Oh, yeah.
And if he had given in to those, you know, to his disciples who sometimes they understood the parables and sometimes they didn't.
Right.
you know, then his prophecy or his, you know, what was to be fulfilled in
right.
the final plan
yes.
would have never happened. And this
That's
was
right.
to further their faith by giving God the glory once again to see another miracle. It's like, how many miracles did they need to see?
Tons.
To believe.
right.
What I wouldn't give to see a couple of them, but we're
right.
not supposed to.
Right.
It's faith. But
right.
I know I'm kind of all over the place. I'm just excited to be here and to talk
no,
to you.
No, you're too. Doing great. You're doing great. This song's been on my heart today. God's not dead. He's surely alive. Let's get that down on the inside of us. My little grandson, Mason, My daughter-in-law, Mary, sent me a video of little Mason 2 or 3 years ago sitting in his car seat in the car when this was a kind of a newer song, and he was singing it. I still have that video. It's the cutest thing. God's not dead. He's surely alive. He's living on the inside, roaring like a lion. Jesus knew that he needed to fulfill the will and the wish of his Father, and that's why he delayed a couple more days before he went to Bethany. I love this story, and we know that God is not dead, and he certainly is not dead now. He's roaring on the inside of us, if we choose to let him do that, Megan, talk to us before we go on here in John 11. Love the story. Mm.
Well, you know, I kind of, before we went to the song, I wrote this down that the disciples in this part of the Bible that we're talking about come to me as what we are like as humans.
Right.
Is that Jesus, why, you know, heal him now. Do it now. Why are you waiting? You know he's sick.
Right.
And, you know, that's how we get. We get impatient.
Yes.
We don't understand. You know God has the ultimate power. We know Jesus has the ultimate power. But why isn't he doing anything? Why is he letting this happen? Da 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 da. And as this goes on, no matter what kind of message you're in or that you're dealing with, it does make Jesus sad that what you're going through is hurting you. It does. It hurts him as much as it hurts us. But the cool thing is even in this story, is that Jesus knew the outcome because he is the only being that can foresee in the future. And he knew the good that was coming. He had to keep that secret. He couldn't share with them what the ultimate outcome of this story is. But he knew, and he has that peace because he knows, and he wants us to have that peace. And
Amen.
That's what I think about this story, is that we really need to see that even though that we're on the sidelines freaking out, that
yeah,
he's not. He's
right.
The ultimate calm.
Yes.
He's the ultimate peace. And that's what he wants you to have. He wants to give you what he has.
That is so right on. And you see that right here in this story in John chapter 11, because the disciples are so upset that they are not going on and helping their brother Lazarus. And then Jesus says in verse 11 of John 11, he said, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. I'm going to go wake him up. And the disciples basically said, in all humanity, the point you were making, Megan and Shell earlier, Master, if he's gone to sleep, he'll get a good rest, and he's going to wake up feeling fine. Jesus was talking about death while his disciples thought he was talking about taking a nap. And then I love verse 14 of John 11, and it starts out, Jesus became explicit. Lazarus died. Can you just see their faces right then? They thought he was saying, you know, Lazarus has been resting and he's getting well. He had the flu really bad, but he's going to be okay. And he's been taking a nap. And Jesus goes, you know what? You need to hear the truth here. Lazarus died. Lazarus died. And then he goes on and says, and I'm glad for your sakes that I wasn't there. And this is the most important sentence coming up right here in the Message Bible. You're about to be given new grounds for believing. Now let's go to him. You're about to be given new grounds for believing. Dear listener, our goal on this show, as it is week after week, is to increase our faith. And we go through things so often because we need a faith boost. And Megan, I didn't preach this when I was up there in Indiana for the revival a couple years ago, but I did preach this concept, which I have written in the margin of my Bible. Graham Cook says, for faith to grow, you need a problem. Shell, talk to us. Talk to us, Shell, and then we'll go to Megan. Was that Megan? Was that you with the woo-woo, or was that Shell? I can tell. You
yep, guys. That was Megan.
All right. Well, you're both doing that kind of stuff. Go ahead, Shell.
I'm sorry. What was the question?
I don't remember.
I got distracted.
Just this whole thing about this sentence. You're about to be given new grounds for believing.
Well, they probably at the moment, like when he said, you know, he's dead, they're probably like, what we were lollygagging around for a couple of days when we
That's
could have
right.
immediately
yes.
gone to him.
Yes.
But what he was basically, you know, hinting at was, this is what set into the events that
right.
led to him being taken away and being crucified, because then he was condemned because, you know, this miracle that he just performed.
That's right. You're right.
was going to anger people because the Romans were, you know, to undermine the Roman rule.
That's exactly right.
And the Pharisees, I mean, they're like, we got to put use somebody as a scapegoat. I mean, too many people were going to believe in him, but that was the final miracle, I think, that set it all into
motion. It did set it
motion.
In motion. It did. You're right. And that's why Jesus says you're about to be given new grounds for believing, because we all need to have those moments, those aha moments in our spiritual life where we see God move in a mighty way and we get an answer, or we see a miracle and we are like, oh, wow, God, you are the miracle working God. Talk to us, Megan, please. I'm on this. So good.
Oh, amen. You know, that thing in the text about we're about to be given new ground. I absolutely, that's why I went, woo, because I love that. Because in every situation that I personally have faced or that I've seen other people face is that they take on new ground.
Yeah.
And they take on a new perspective. They take on a deeper faith. They take on more spiritual power. And it just gets me so pumped. Like, when you brought that up and you said that, I was like a kid in a classroom with their hand waving in the air, like, teacher, I want to comment. I have an answer. But it just got me so excited, because that is so true, that this story that we're talking about today is that he was just telling the disciples, just hang on. I know that your jaw just hit the floor because you thought he was going to be sleeping, but he actually died. Just hang with me a little bit longer,
right?
Because there is a new awakening coming.
That's exactly right. And, you know, interestingly enough, this morning, Megan, I was talking about how my three kids and you were only 9 when you and your parents started coming to Cornerstone in Indiana. And my kids had to sit right there and, you know, endure service after service with their mom preaching and all that. And Mark, 6 years old, had to sit on the front row because he got in trouble any other place located in the church. And so, but you know, recently when I was cleaning out the storage, I found notebooks of notes from 6-year-old Mark, because he took notes right there. And Megan, you were 9 or 10, but you sat there and you were attentive and you asked for prayer. And my point in all this is that it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. There are times that things happen that give us new grounds for believing. When I gave those notebooks to my son, he started looking through them, and he was just so thrilled to see what he had written at age 6. Now that he's a dad, you know? And so it all kinds of things, they work together for our good. God causes all things to work together for our good. And even if it's something hugely horrible, like when you and Ben lost your son Grayson a few years back, hugely horrible, yet God has done some good things through all of that. And I think that we all need to look at this. We are constantly being given new grounds for believing. And sometimes those things are very hard. And we have to believe God, and then we have to see what he does. So comment on that, Shell, before I go back to Megan on this.
Well, like I said, it all goes back to patience.
It does.
And trust.
It does.
And we have to go through the pain if we want the rewards later. And we can't, you know, be self-reliant. We just have to give it to him, over to him.
Yes.
And we have to believe that nothing happens by coincidence. And if he didn't intervene at the moment you thought he should or whatever, it's like, don't think that you, a mere mortal, have the answer and you know better than God does. God has way better judgment. God knows what he's doing, and you just got to let him take the wheel. You know, so it's about control, patience, and yes, I mean, it is awesome, as Megan said, when you have an epiphany or like something years later, it's like in retrospect, you see things that happened that you missed along the way. You weren't paying that close attention, or you just weren't feeling very, I have a problem not having enough gratitude. So I think that, you know, working on that.
Well, we all do that. We all do. And when we realize that it doesn't matter if you've absorbed a concept at age 6 or you've gotten it like last year,
Yeah, I'm not as studious as it sounds like Megan and your son. I'm a little thick like that.
But you know what?
Taking me years.
Well, everybody's situation's different, Shell. And you know, the trials we go through on a daily basis are there to teach us that God is going to get glory out of that situation or that mess. Somehow he will. Talk to us, Megan, on that.
Well, piggybacking off of what you said about Grayson, is that what that gave me, and I absolutely love it, because everyone's story that they have is the gateway for you to open up communication about how God has impacted your life.
That's right.
And what I love the most about Grayson and losing him is the fact that when anybody brings up talking about death, is that I have a different perspective because of Grayson.
Right.
Is that I can live the rest of my life knowing without a shadow of a doubt that I will see my son again.
Right.
And that I know that he is in the best care possible, and that I can walk among everyone else and I can still be full of joy. I can
yes.
still laugh.
Yes.
I don't have to be controlled by the cloud of death because
right.
it doesn't control us.
Yes.
And, you know, that's what I absolutely love about it, is that I can walk around and everybody, there's probably people that think that I'm out of my right mind, but, and I may be, I don't know, but all I know is that the Lord has given me the peace and he's given me the joy and the restoration to come out of that situation and be happy and be able to be a person in society that's not controlled by death that the devil wants to throw in your face. And every time you turn the corner that, oh, you know, you've lost this person, you've lost. No, Satan, I'm here to tell you
Amen.
That they live eternally in heaven, and that's where I'm going, so you better just back off.
Amen.
Ooh, that's awesome.
That is awesome. And so often when we're in the midst of the struggle, like Mary and Martha, who we're going to talk about here in just a moment, when we're in the midst of the loss, in the midst of the struggle, and we don't understand it, we can so often give way to bitterness and resentment and questioning and, God, what are you doing here anyway? I don't get this. I don't get this. And when we are feeling those feelings is when we need to go to him. And that's why I'm playing this song. One of my favorites. I haven't played it for a long time. His strength is perfect when my strength is gone. Cece Winans.
I can do all things.
Amen. Listen.
Through Christ who gives me strength. But sometimes I wonder what he can do for me. No great success to show. No glory of my own, yet in my weakness, he is there to let me know. His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He'll carry us when speaking.
There are many times in our lives where we feel like our strength is gone. He wants to carry you right now, dear listener, no matter what you're going through. When you get to that point where you feel like you can't carry on, you can't put one foot in front of the other, the disciples probably felt that when they were told that their very, very close friend Lazarus had died. He wasn't just asleep, and they knew Jesus could have prevented it. And they had to feel very weak and very upset and confused about why God had allowed this to happen. And we all are going through times like that in our lives. Talk to us, Shell. We have these difficult moments, don't we? From time to time, we do.
Yeah. There's times, you know, like I said, you just want to ball up, cry, stay in bed, because you're thinking about all your problems and you're letting all your emotions rule.
That's right.
Instead of looking up and focusing on him.
That's right.
And being patient for him to work for you.
Right.
Now it's like, you don't, we just try so hard to be in control. Mm-hmm. And
we do.
Have you ever been in a car with someone who doesn't know where they're going and refuses to ask for directions? It's sort of the same thing, you know.
Yeah.
We just go round and round.
Yeah.
And we look in the wrong places, but there's only one path, you know, only one path.
Amen.
And that's through Jesus.
Amen.
You know?
Woo. Amen. Right on. Right on. And it is so hard sometimes to realize that God is doing something that we cannot even figure out. And you know, that he loves it like that. He doesn't want to, you know, give us the answers to the quiz. He wants us so often to say, all right, I better get ready for this quiz. Go ahead, Megan.
Yeah, Pastor, you are so right. It's parable speaking. And what I mean by that is that when God talks to specifically to me, it's like he'll say something and I'll go, what, Lord? Because I don't fully understand what he's saying, because he wants us to learn. He
right.
wants us to learn
yeah.
about his nature. He wants us to learn about his peace. He wants us to get into the Bible and learn, because
right.
he wants our spirits to constantly be nourished so that we're not walking around without directives.
That's right.
And it's just like Shell said, it's like, you know, sometimes you might be in the car with someone that they're just driving around and they refuse to get directions. But it's like, you know, I can't, I mean, I've done that, but it drives me crazy, because who wants to be walking around through life without direction? And the ultimate direction and the ultimate, you know, guidance system is the creator of the universe.
Absolutely.
And that's God, and that's Jesus.
Amen. And I find it very interesting in John 11, verse 16, that when Jesus said, wait a minute, Lazarus died, but you know what? It's going to be okay, because you're going to be given new grounds for believing. And Thomas speaks up, doubting Thomas, and he says, come along, we might as well die with him. Oh my gosh. Shell, I mean, that's how a lot of us are, right? Oh, well, this is, you know, nobody loves me, everybody hates me, I think I'll go eat worms thing, you know?
I don't know if that was the way I interpreted it. Almost thought that Thomas was just out of loyalty, because sometimes we don't believe, our hearts
truly aren't into, okay, how's this going to happen? How's he going to pull this one off? And I just thought it was loyalty. Like, if he's going, I'm his disciple, I'm going to go. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I didn't interpret it that the right way. I don't know. What do you think, Megan?
Either way. Meg?
I think you could look at it either way.
I think so, too, really. Yeah.
And, you know, and
I mean, that's another, like, part of the Bible where I'm clueless. Cause like I said, I'm often clueless. I don't know. I read these, and I'm like, I don't understand. Yeah. But I guess we're supposed to look into it further, which is what we're doing.
That's what we're doing.
Right. No, I totally agree with Jill, because, honestly, I have, in my life, I have read different texts out of the Bible, and every time I do, I read it differently.
Right. And I agree.
So I don't see that that interpretation is incorrect at all. And I would agree with what she said.
Okay.
Because it may need to be, for someone listening, it may need to be interpreted that way.
That's right. And that's fine.
You know? And
I agree.
But it also can be viewed, too, is in the context that you're speaking, Pastor, is that when we lose a loved one or when we lose a close friend, that it just totally destroys us. And that's why they said, well, we might as well just go die with him, because they felt like there was no other reason to go on. And that's death price.
No hope. Yeah. A lot of times we find that hopelessness. We're going to talk more about
this. We don't know that all his disciples believed.
No, this just says Thomas.
They all had that.
No, just says Thomas. Right. We're going to talk more about this in the second hour, and so you better stay tuned to this lively chat here with our radio team members, Megan and Shell. We want to remind you that you can check out our website, www.bohmglobal.com, stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries, and catch hundreds of radio shows that we've done. We're in our 12th year, getting ready on September 23rd. To have our 600th show, girls. Can you believe that? Because that's hard for me to believe. And but I tell you what, there's no greater joy. I love doing these shows. It's fantastic. We encourage you to send your prayer requests in. Shell, you are doing an amazing job, along with Megan's mama, Betty, and my associate pastor, Pastor Jim, of getting those prayer requests out to the prayer team, so they can pray in unison. And Shell, don't you love it when you see answer after answer and praise reports? I mean, God is moving. We had so many praise reports today. Wow.
Tons of miracles.
It's great.
But yeah, I didn't know if you wanted to put the prayers at bohmglobal.com is what you send the email to, the prayer request.
Yes.
Or, you know, so if you're hurting or if you have something to celebrate, a praise report, then also that same address, prayers at bohmglobal.com, and somebody will get on there and answer.
Absolutely.
And pray for you.
Absolutely.
Or celebrate with you.
I'll tell you, we do a lot of that at the beginning of our service on Sunday morning at Beacon, and I tell you, it was just Pastor Jim writes them down in a little book, and there are just so many answers to prayer and so many needs there are in people's lives. So we want to pray for you and with you. Prayers at bohmglobal.com. And I did a Facebook post this week. Megan, did you catch it? Shell, did you guys catch it on Facebook?
Not really on Facebook, but I could go back and
check it out.
I could go on there to check it out.
Yeah, do. It's on my post or it's on Beacon of Hope Ministries post. Megan, just say a quick word about that before we get to the top of the hour, if you will.
Absolutely. The Facebook posts are just a short little blurb. Enough time for you to probably travel from home to work that you could catch